And then the Quran comes to undo that, to correct that. And some of us are so foolish, we've been so long fed by those ideas that we think when the Quran mentions hands and right hand and left hand of God, and seat, the kursi, the chair of God, or the throne of God, we are foolish enough to miss the enlightenment, to miss the light, and think that the Quran, nobody thinks this now but those from the old lost foundation of Islam teaching, that dropped their matter instead of holding it in their hands, and their matter went deep in the grave than it ever was. Only they have this idea. I don't think that Muslims of the world think like this now. They don't. But there have been a few weird fellows overseas too. One of them was executed for saying things. Later on, he said, "Well, there's an interpretation for this. I didn't mean it that way." They said, "Too late. Execution. Execution." They executed him. He said, too, that God is a man. In fact, he said he was God. I'm Allah. He said, "I bear witness that there is no Allah but me." And he was a learned man, respected man, very wise man in religion, and from all indication, a very pious man. And he said that. And they executed him. And I think if I had been sitting on the jury, I would have voted to execute him. In spite of his goodness, in spite of his righteousness, in spite of his good mind, I would have executed him too. Because that's playing with God's word. That's playing with the minds of people. You don't do that unless you're misguided. Praise be to Allah. So we know the whole world has been misguided. And the light has come to set us on the right path. And we know we have been given assistance all along the road. The experiences in Africa, the experiences in America when we were brought here as slaves, the experiences of doing Reconstruction, the experiences after Reconstruction, the Jim Crow Day experiences, the 100 years of lynching, the teachings of Drew Ali and Marcus Garvey, and the teachings of Prophet Muhammad, or W.D. Farrakhan, all of these things have had an effect in our life, in our emotionality, in our sensitivity, to help direct us, to help guide us on into the full light. They teased our taste, they teased our appetite, but they didn't satisfy. They wanted teasers and tempters, saying go further for understanding. So those things have aided us in the way, and that's the way I feel. I feel that we've been aided by those experiences, not hurt by those experiences. The only ones that have been hurt by those experiences are those that were corrupt in their hearts anyway. But those who had good hearts, they haven't been hurt by those experiences. I find people I meet that used to be Noble Drew Ali's followers. I find them now, they were beautiful in that darkness. They're beautiful now in the light. Praise be to Allah. Our intention was good. And if your intention is good, then Allah is your friend. And in time, he will bring you to the light. That's what we have to understand. And we know that Allah allows sometimes many oppositions. Allah allows things to operate in our life contrary to his will. Why does he allow it? To test us. To see who is faithful and who is not. And in testing us, he makes us stronger. In testing us, that very thing that is designed to destroy many works in us as a benefit. It aids us on. It makes us tighten up our grip. Tighten up our grip on what we want and go forward. Praise be to Allah. So we have to understand this. We are a great community, and I don't want you to underestimate that. We are a great community. We are a precious community. We are Allah's chosen community. That's what you have to come to see. That we are a sign that Allah has chosen this particular people in America for a special blessing. And that now you shouldn't look to Africa, you shouldn't look to Asia, you shouldn't look to the Arabs, you shouldn't look to the Africans, you shouldn't look to the Chinese, you shouldn't look to the white man, you should look here in America. Here is where God's work is strongest. Here is where God's work is most evident. Here, under the leadership of your Imam, Wahid al-Din Muhammad. You should look here. This is where you should look for evidence of what Allah has done and is doing for the people of this world. This is not for us. This is for the people of the world. And when they look at us, they see medicine for them in us. That's what you have to understand. Praise be to Allah. All of this I'm saying to you is not to get you to look at me. It's to get you to look at the works of Allah and glorify and praise Him. That's what my effort is to do. And to get you to see that we are only Muslims, but look how Allah can raise up a Muslim. I'm not a prophet. I'm no angel. I'm no deity. I'm just a common believer. But look how Allah has raised up a common believer. Allah has used a common believer to show them, my prophets are not dead, they are alive, but you perceive it not. Yes, and Allah is showing them that through a common believer who follows Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So dear beloved people, let us pray to Allah for guidance, that He make firm our stand for Al-Islam and our stand for Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be on him. That He never let us go back to the world of sin and confusion that many of us come out of. And that He never let us go back to the church for guidance. That He keep us in His mouth. Oh Allah, never allow our hearts to deviate after you have guided us aright. And save us from the fires of sin. Ameen. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا على محمد رسوله الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد and after may that be peace upon us and the believing people throughout the world. Amen. Dear beloved Muslims, I now call the attention again to a sign. A sign that I see that is inspiration and encouragement to the people of this community who identify in the mission that I had in this part of the world. I call your attention to the chapter in the Quran called Suratul Quraysh. And that surah bears the name of the tribe of our Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be on him. And we know that the ancestry of Prophet Muhammad, one ancestor in particular, Hashim, he was a custodian for the Kaaba before the advent of prophethood, before the prophet became prophet. And we know that that was a house at that time occupied or surrounded by idolaters who didn't have Al-Islam, didn't have the correct idea of worship, etc. But nevertheless, Allah, Most High, protected that house. Dear beloved Muslims, this is a great sign. Not only a sign to us, it is a sign to all people. But in this day and time, we are the people who stand to benefit most from this sign. And as I go, ignoring the time on the clock there, but paying attention to this time of God, you're going to come to see my point, inshallah. Dear beloved Muslims, when the army of the elephants came, a frail old man went out to meet them. And he was Hashim. You know, there's even a tribe that they identify or they attribute to him. I don't know whether we agree with their classification or not, but there is a Hashemite, Hashemiah Hashemite, right? Yes. And they asked him to say, where is the army? Who's going to protect this place? And Hashem replied, Allah will protect it. He didn't have any army. Nobody there, he said, nobody here. Just me, an old man. The Allah will protect it. Praise be to Allah. Now look, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, he's not that old man Hashim now. But the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, I know you seek my life. I know you're a wicked nation. And you seek to destroy us. But Allah will protect us. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad is God. Buried in his grave, returning back to the matter from which his body was taken. And his spirit has gone, we hope, to a better place. But look, that man, he too was a man protecting a house that was idolatrous. And he said, God will protect this house. And here stands the child from the loins of Elijah. And he seems to be in top shape. And before me are many of the pioneers, the hard-working people who built the lost foundation of Islam. And now they are before me, and most of you appear to be in top shape. He said, God will protect it. Standing in a pagan environment and saying, Allah will protect it. Hashim standing in a pagan environment and saying, Allah will protect it. And the army marched against the unprotected precincts. So they seem to have been unprotected. And a mysterious thing occurred in the heavens. A flight of strange birds came over with strange sharp pebbles and released them just in time. And they fell upon the army of the elephants, inflicting them with small wounds, very small wounds. But they were so poisonous that they just ate up the flesh of the herd of the elephants and rendered them as straw chewed up by the animals. This is Quran, the Surah Al-Fil. Isn't this a wonderful day? Is this our day? That's the way I read it this morning on the calendar. Praise be to Allah. Now, dear beloved people, let us continue. What else is it about this tribe, the Quraysh? We know that the precinct there are also called Qura, the mother town, a mother of the neighboring town, right? Yes. And we can hear in Qura, at least two letters of Quraysh, right? Oh, yes. And we know that house that is so dear to Muslims, it is a sign, really, for what is precious to all human beings, that house was built by Prophet Ibrahim and his son Ismail, upon them be peace. And it was erected or raised up, built up, for who? Not for Arabs. Not for Africans, but for the humanity at large. So says Allah in the Quran. Says, build up the house, raise it for humanity at large. Didn't say for no particular people. Praise be to Allah. Now, look, we're talking about those precincts. Quraysh, in connection with Quraysh. On the great day of victory, when our prophet came into Mecca as David, forgiving his enemies. Some of us think that Jesus Christ, the only one that forgave his enemies. If you read the Old Testament, you find that David forgave his enemies. His enemy pursued him to kill him, hunted him down all day and night. And then he saw his enemy and he forgave him. Prophet Muhammad returned to Mecca, victorious. Did he say, okay, let's ferret out all the hypocrites, all the idolaters. Let's ferret out all of those who denounced their religion after accepting it. No. What did he say? There shall be no more blood feuding. This day you are given peace. Amnesty. Is that not right? Praise be to Allah. This is a day of mercy coming from who? The prophet of mercy. Rahmatan linnas. Mercy for all humanity. See, this is not the one you think he is. This is not the tyrant. This is the mercy of God. Rahmatan linnas. Mercy for all humanity. That's what he said with his gesture of forgiveness. Forgave all his enemies. Some had cruelly treated his own relatives. Some had really cruelly inflicted injury upon him when he went to Taif. How did they respond to his call to good sense and excellence? They stoned him with rocks until his body bled from the wound. And as he walked out from their town, from Taif, there in Arabia, near Mecca, as he walked out from Taif, those who reported the history say that you could hear the sound of blood in his sandals. The blood was running from his body into his sandals, and his feet were making the sound of blood in his sandals as he walked out of Taif. Did he say, where are those people that did that to me in Taif? He didn't look for them. He said, this is a day of mercy. He forgave his enemies. This is not dream reporting. This is not a dark skyward visitation message. This is history reported by historians as well as religious people. This is history. What we have been told about Jesus has to be believed on the strength of religion. What I'm telling you can be proved by on the strength of historical reporting. This is what you have to understand. Dear beloved people, you stand on solid ground if you're a Muslim, believing in the Quran and believing in Prophet Muhammad. You stand on solid ground. And Allah says, what of us? You are the uppermost. If you're faithful, nobody above you, nobody above the Muslim, no Jewish community, no Christian community, no atheist community, no communist, nobody above the Muslim. If you know your religion and you are faithful to that, you above all the communities of the world. And we put the same challenge to them that Allah gave us through his prophet. We will meet them in an argument. We'll face them. If they think that they're better off, if they think that they have the better, we ask them, come on, let's debate. And let the world hear us. Let the whole world hear us on international television as we debate. And then count the number of the masses and the elect that you lose to us after the debate. We know we are the winner. No doubt about it. Not a question. No more questions. Allah has answered them all. Praise be to Allah. Our dear beloved people, going back to Quraysh, connecting it with the house that Abraham and his son Ismail erected or built up, we know by the very terminology used in the building of that house that that house has a double meaning. That that house has meaning in nature, and it has meaning also in enlightenment or in expression. It refers to the nature that Allah intended for the human being to have, which is a common nature for all people. It doesn't differ from land to land or from color to color. But we know also that there is a science that God reveals out of that nature. And that science becomes an articulate language. And that science and its articulation is education, enlightenment. And we know that the very first words that came to Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, said, Iqra. Again, you have two letters of Quraysh. Two letters of Qura. Umul Qura. All right? Said, Iqra. Read. So that house that he established, now it has become a message given in pages. The house itself is a house that must not be violated. An inviolable house. You cannot violate that house. Don't take anything unclean there. No corruption there. No sin there, etc., etc. And of the pages bearing the science that connects us with that nature that God wants for all man, and with this expression in the world where it's to go. Of that science that is on pages, what does it say? It says, on purified pages. The pages too are pure. Not adulterated, not adulterated, not corrupt, not interpolated, not translated out of their original content, out of their original meaning. No, indeed. Unadulterated. Purified pages. Now, when Prophet Muhammad came, where was the purified pages? Did he give pages? No. Prophet Muhammad was inspired by Allah, and he gave the words with his mouth. The words that were imprinted upon his heart, he gave it with his mouth. And the people got the pages from his body. Now, we know that pages are sheets upon sheets. And skin is skin upon skin. Right? Oh, yes, more to that than that. But time won't allow it. All right. As they say, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. You know of that saying. All right, it's a Christian saying, right? Western religious people should say. Okay, so we're still talking about that house. Now, what do we seek in connection with the house? How can you connect flesh with that house, Brother Imam? Brother Imam, Allah revealed the spot where it should be erected, where it should be built, and Ibrahim and his son built it, peace be on them, and Prophet Muhammad was there, and he took his hand and brought the stone, the precious stone, back to places, ordered this reconstruction. Now, where does this flesh come in to this? How can you hear without flesh? How can you see without flesh? How can you feel without flesh? How can you smell without flesh? Huh? How can you enjoy the function of the five senses without flesh? All right. Now, let's see. Out of the body that have the five senses and the nature Allah created in it, to prayer, to worship. And Prophet Muhammad told them, go get Bilal and tell him. He agreed with them. He saw the same thing. After some time, Prophet Muhammad saw the same thing, that it was Bilal who should be given that role. So he told them to go get Bilal and have him make their advance. Now we know flesh is flesh, isn't it? But as a sign, what makes the black flesh different from the white flesh? As a sign, the white flesh is enlightenment, science, conscience. And the black flesh is feeling, spirit, etc. The black flesh represents the nature. The white flesh represents the expression out of the nature. Now, why is it a black man that is told to go up on the Kaaba? Well, isn't the stone black? The precious stone that he put back in its place, isn't it black? Oh, does that represent the Africans? Yes and no. It represents all men. It represents the death of the white flesh. White flesh becomes polluted. White flesh in time becomes what to call what's the disease to get? Leprosy flesh. It's a white disease in the flesh. So in time, the white flesh become leprous, a leprous flesh, you see? And it has to die in order for it to be reborn again. Now, death is what? Blackness. What is blackness now? Going back to its original nature. And then out of the black comes the light again. See, Allah says, see how he makes the black, the night, go ahead of the day, and how he makes the day go ahead of the night in succession. See how he revolves the kingdom. You see, Allah says this, right? Now, isn't it wonderful that Prophet Muhammad saw the black man as a sign of the nature? That the nature will survive the death of the knowledge in the society? The white man will die, but the black man will survive that death. So he told Bilal to go on top of the Kaaba. They called them to prayer on a day of victory. That tells you that this was the, he didn't tell him to do that any other time. Only on the day of victory, when all men were called there. When all people were called there. And when mercy was given, even to criminals. giving mercy to the criminals today? Isn't Imam Wazuddin Muhammad? Isn't he the man that's giving mercy to the criminals? And saying, no, our doors are open to all races. This is mercy. I'm not Muhammad. I'm not Bilal. But what happened in his day points to what's happening now. Praise be to Allah. Now, dear beloved people, you go there and not only the stone is black, but most of the time you see, in fact, all the time, you see the house itself shrouded in the black garment. Praise be to Allah. A symbol of the original nature that Allah gave to all men. And out of that original nature, if we orientate ourselves toward that original nature with the guidance of God will bring us back into the pure light. Dear beloved Muslims, now let me go on, because this is one of those long khutbahs. And may Allah forgive us for our sins, our wrongdoings, and our mistakes. Now, dear beloved people, look at this. Prophet Muhammad received protection from his enemies on the strength of his membership in the tribe of Quraysh. Certain enemies in his own family, they wanted to incite the Quraysh against Prophet Muhammad. What checked their anger? What checked their rage? The fact that he was a member of the Quraysh. They said, how can we do this to a member of the Quraysh? And especially to Muhammad, our son. No, that was a horrible idea in their mind. So, oh, this is terrifying that we will go and inflict mortal wounds upon Muhammad. And we know that from the idolaters came defenders, protectors, to protect Muhammad. But they didn't become Muslim. They were still idolaters. But they stood by Prophet Muhammad. Is that not right? Yes. This is the history. All right. Let us go on now. Don't forget what we said. Don't forget where we're going, the direction we're going in. We're showing the comparison, making a comparison. Now, Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be on him, received a surah with the Quran titled the Quraysh. And the words of this surah are as follows. لِإِلَاهِ قُرَيْشِ إِلَاهِهِمْ رِحْلَةَ الشِّتَاءِ وَالصَّيْفِ. For the protection of the Quraysh, it is translated. For the protection of the Quraysh, their protection is guaranteed through both summer, winter and summer. Now God Almighty, whose proper name is Allah, has blessed me with some insight into this. As he promised those who remain faithful and pure that they will be given insight. Not only did he promise that, through Prophet Muhammad, he promised also that he would take the uneducated and make the uneducated a professor. This is hadith, authentic hadith. Prophet Muhammad said, and he shall raise up a muallim. That's a professor. And here he is looking at you and you're looking at him. Believe it or not, because it doesn't take away anything, no matter what your position is. All right? But it helps your situation if you recognize the truth. Now, not wanting any attention on me, I don't want that. But the truth should be told. Praise be to Allah. Now, dear beloved people, here is the surah by the title Quraysh, and we find in it a word, ilahi, ilah, or ilahi. If you think about that word, you can hear almost in that word the letter alif, alif, or alif. We know the letter alif is called alif. It's called alif, and with emphasis on the a, alif, right? Alif, and ilafi of the same root meaning, or the same meaning, points to what? It points to the social bond, in the life of a people. The Quraysh are singled out for this particular quality or attribute. And we see in their history in the Quran how strong their social sentiment was. How strong the sentiment of social togetherness or social bonding was with them. They didn't think that they should move against a member of their social tribe or their social group. Strong social bonding. What does the word alif mean? It means moved by social concern. Alif. A person who is alifun is a person who is moved by social concern, social amenity, social kindness, social sentiment. That's a person, that's the person that you call alifun. Say, who are alifun? Who are rajulun alifun? You're saying that he is a person with those attributes. All right? Now, look at another word in the Arabic language. You find it in the Muawwidh, the dictionary, Wood Arabic dictionary. It's the name of a plant that we eat.